Good morning, and thank you for listening in today as we consider some of God's Word together. Our first passage that I'm going to be reading from is from the book of Acts in chapter 7. If you'd like to turn there so that you can read a few passages with me, Acts chapter 7. I am sure that I'm not that different than everyone else in that our recent isolation from the pandemic has me thinking a lot. Much of that thinking translates into my prayers, as it should. As Christians, we take the time to examine ourselves frequently, and during this time of isolation, that examination might be a little bit different. Since this is not a situation we've experienced before, the thoughts and the considerations that go along with it are going to be different too. I want to share with you a list of thoughts that I hope will assist you in being encouraged, building you up, and give us some thoughts to bear fruit after this current distress has passed. And I sort of think of this as lessons from our isolation. The first is that we must always place our trust in God. No matter the circumstance we find ourselves in, we must continue to place our trust in God. And I think one of the best examples of this is Stephen. He has given a gospel message, and that has brought him up to a point of making a very blunt but truthful accusation against those that are hearing that lesson. And their reaction is not one of repentance, but it's one of anger. Read with me in Acts chapter 7, beginning in verse 51. He says, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one whom you have now betrayed and murdered, you who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." Now when they had heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He didn't just endure their anger. He died for sharing the good news of Jesus the Christ with them. And what was his reaction? "Lord, receive my spirit. And do not hold this sin against them." Not only was he willing to die for the cause of Christ, but he completely trusted God to take care for his eternal soul. No matter what comes, we would do well to have this level of trust in God. Can we take steps to keep from getting ill and possibly dying? Sure. Do I live a life fearful of that happening? No, I trust my God that he is faithful to those that are his, no matter what the fate of this physical body is going to be. My second is, this is all temporary. Turn with me to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms, number 39. Psalm 39. When the elders here discussed canceling services, we had hoped that this would be over rather quickly. Perhaps we would only have to cancel services for a couple of weeks. But here we are, 3 weeks later, wondering how much longer we will be apart from one another. No matter how long this distressing time lasts, it is still temporary. In Psalm 39, beginning in verse 4, it says, "O Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. All of this life is temporary. Our lifetime might seem long to us, but it's just a vapor, here one moment, gone the next, as James pointed out in James chapter 4. With the right attitude and the right focus, the eternal nature of God and the eternal life with Him that He has promised to those that are His can make all the difference in our attitude toward everything we face in this life, including a pandemic. Number three is don't forget God. Distractions are a very useful tactic for Satan. If he can get us to focus on everything but God, then he can slowly win us over. Worry and stress are distractions. Turn off the news, log off the computer, and get back to focusing on God. That means that we need to follow the admonition in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 to pray without ceasing. Prayer needs to be our constant endeavor. If your prayer life has not been what it should be, there is no time like the present to remedy it. It will bring you peace, and it is powerful. We are given the incredible privilege of speaking directly to our God and our Creator, and He answers, and His power is at work for us. We also need to simply be engaged in studying the Word. These are the words that are breathed out by God for our benefit. We need to be endeavoring to study that Word so that we understand it, as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15. If you have more time on your hands now, then what better time is it to study the Bible? God is speaking to you through the Scriptures. You can follow our daily Bible readings. You can study subjects that you have perhaps neglected. You can dig out those resources, dust them off, get the Vines Dictionary down, get your concordance down, and get back to using them. But I think one of the most uplifting things, not to minimize prayer and not to minimize study, but something that's very uplifting to me right now because I'm not able to gather with the saints, is to sing hymns. Sing those hymns that you know by heart. If you have a songbook at home, pull it out and sing some of those songs. If you don't have a songbook at home and perhaps don't know very many by heart, you can try looking up some songs online. There are some of them out there. I may not be rejoicing over the pandemic, but I can rejoice over the love of God. I can praise Him for His goodness. I can rejoice in the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. James 5 verse 13 says, "Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise." Maybe we need some joy, and singing can help bring that joy along with a remembrance of the importance of worship and praise. I think now more than ever, since we are not able to gather together, that we need to be singing, and we need to be singing with all of our heart. Number four is to count your blessings. Oh, we sing the song that says, "When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one." Whenever the storms of this life change our focus, it is our job to realize what we have in God is greater than anything in this life. Let's turn over to the book of Matthew, chapter 8. Matthew, chapter 8, and look with me down at verse 23. Matthew, chapter 8, and verse 23. when we feel like the storms of this life are overcoming us, and we feel the tumult of those storms, and we feel tossed to and fro by them. Remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23. Verse 23. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, Save us, Lord, we are perishing. And he said to them, Why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, What sort of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Of course, nature is going to heed the words of its creator. He gets up and rebukes the storm, and it's going to stop. But realize that he can calm you in much the same way. The storms that beset you in this life do not have to overcome you. They do not have to worry you and stress you. Jesus can bring calm into your life. He is in control, and he can grant peace to us despite this tumultuous world that we live in. Number 5 is encourage one another every day. Take the time to call someone among us each day. It doesn't have to be a long phone call. A short phone call can make a big difference to both them and to us. We are to be a one another people. We are to be a group of saints within the body of Christ that is constantly thinking of each other. And when the saints of the first century encountered needs for their daily living, and then encountered persecution, and then famine as well, the saints leaned on each other as well as upon God. They provided for one another, and they encouraged one another. We have an opportunity to do the same for each other. We have the opportunity to demonstrate our love for one another. And when this is over and we gather together again, we are going to be a stronger group of Christians than we were before this pandemic. And it's going to be because we did not neglect one another, and we demonstrated that love. I'm thankful that we have the technology today to observe the guidelines that have been given to us for isolation, yet still reach out and check on each other. Number 6 is to examine yourselves. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? This past Lord's Day, as I sang some hymns with my family, and we got online to listen to a lesson, it really hit me how much I missed being with the brethren at our assemblies. Not just because I long to see all of you face to face, and not just because we are told to assemble together on the first day of the week. It's not even a matter of social interaction. I realized that after 3 weeks now, I could feel a difference because of all those things that were missing in my life. You probably feel the same way. And we have to be careful that we're not starving ourselves spiritually, becoming comatose in our faith. Examine yourselves and be sure that you are taking the steps necessary to remain faithful so that you do not fail the test. If you find yourself lacking, then reach out and ask for help. You have so many of the saints that care deeply for your spiritual well-being. You have your elders that care deeply for your spiritual well-being. We can be there for each other. We can help each other. The 7th and final point is to simply learn from this experience. Now, I hope that you've learned some things already these past few weeks. For example, I hope that you've learned how important God's design for the church really is. The Lord intended for us to gain strength from one another, and there is no better way to do that than to assemble together. I'm thankful that we have the resources that we do to still be able to log on to listen to a lesson from someone to be preached. I'm thankful that I have my family that I can sing some songs together with. We can do some Bible reading. We can worship together. But it's not the same. God's design for the church is divine. And we need to realize how important that really is. Now, many of the things that we normally do may be on hold, but our service to God must carry on. Faith cannot be put on hold. Find things you can do to be active. We have had the opportunity to experience what many members experience when they're unable to attend services for extended periods of time. Maybe they're in a nursing home. Maybe they're in assisted living and unable to get out. Maybe they're shut in. Perhaps this experience will help us to be more mindful of them and to go out of our way to alleviate some of those burdens, the loneliness even, and to build them up the way that they are missing out on. We also understand that life is very precious. Tears begin to come as I hear of all the people who are dying from this virus. People die every day, but I don't hear about all of those. And I realize that I need to be more intentional about influencing those around me while I have the opportunity. Life is short. And I hope that you've learned the need to pray for your brethren. Not just about illness, and not just about hoping to see them again, but praying deeply and fervently for their physical and spiritual well-being. As I have read some of the reports coming from some of the members of the church in Italy, I have found myself praying for them more than ever before. I personally need to translate that more into my normal routine after this is all over. There are always brethren that can use our prayers. It's hard to put together a lesson such as this and be exhaustive, if that's even possible. But I do hope that this helps and that when we see each other again, our love for one another will be deepened and our desire to serve God side by side will be stronger than ever before. I love each and every one of you. I miss you dearly, and I look forward to seeing you again. You are in my prayers each and every day. God be with us all.